This season of our country has turned out to be a pretty tough one for all of us. And not because all of us here are right, which of course must be the case, presuming to speak for all of you. And I hope over Zoom that comes across as the joke is meant to be. But because the test, if not only of decency and compassion in those other people, but there's also that test for ourselves. I'm inclined to look at the gospel today as representing those other guys. The gospel today tells the third parable that Jesus offers directly to the religious leaders, challenging their leadership. He has just made his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, where he is hailed by a crowd in front of and behind him, the people that are just around him. But the people of the city are questioning who he is. He starts off by going to the temple and turning over the tables, telling those who are there that his house is to be a house of prayer, but they are making it into a den of robbers. Then he withdraws for the night to Bethany. He comes back to the city the next day and on the way curses the fig tree for not bearing fruit. That second day, he begins to challenge the chief priests and elders directly. He throws a question back to them when they challenge his authority about the baptism of John, and they hedge because they are afraid of the crowds. The second challenge he offers comes in the form of a parable, the one that we read last week about the two sons in the vineyard. The third is the parable today about the wicked tenants. And I'm going to borrow the exegesis from Emerson Powery of Messiah College to unpack it and end with how I think of challenges for today. What should the proper care of the vineyard look like? What should tenant farmers who lease the land give back to the one who owns all the land? Jesus used another parable with another landowner as one of the chief characters who cared for another vineyard to make his point. Distinctive to this parable was Jesus's clear allusion to Isaiah that we read earlier today, his own parable about a love song for a planted vineyard. In Matthew's narrative, Jesus tied together broader themes in order to critique the temple leadership responsible for the proper care of the people of God, Israel. This is his third response to the temple leadership's query about the origins of Jesus's authority for his temple activity. First, Jesus has offered that counter question on the authority of John's baptism. Second, the parable of two sons. Finally, he's recalling Isaiah with the reinterpretation of Isaiah's long love song about the vineyard. The allusion to Isaiah, which we read earlier, is of course unmistakable. The prophet made clear that the vineyard was a metaphor for the house of Israel and the people of Judah. And in Isaiah, God was the caretaker of this vineyard. Despite careful attention from the vine dresser, the vineyard produced only wild grapes. The vineyard's failure to produce better fruit forced the owner to remove his attentiveness. If the land was unable to produce with proper care, what could it do without it? In Jesus's parable, the produce was fine, but the delivery system was malfunctioning. The problem was not with the vineyard's production, but with the tenants themselves. They were extremely violent tenant farmers, harming and slaughtering the various groups of slaves sent by the landowner. The rationale for their brutality and murderous ways was stated explicitly when the son visited. "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." On the surface, the landowner's decision to send his son in light of the tragedy of his servants seemed unwise. But Jesus's parable did not highlight this act as foolish. This was not the parable of the foolish landowner. Rather, in an honor and shame culture, the landowner's decision to send his son as emissary was appropriate, since he could expect proper respect for his appointed heir. Culturally, the leasing of land to tenant farmers was a common experience in the first century. Landowners could expect tenants to turn over a portion of the crop, and those who failed to meet the landowner's standards would be removed from the land, and the landowning elite could usually pay others to remove them forcefully if necessary. So in reality, many in Jesus's audience would have understood the experience of the farmers all too well. If they chose not to pay the landowner, as was the case in Jesus's parable, the landowner would find new tenants without doubt. So Jesus's story highlighted the landowner's patience in this regard, and perhaps a certain kind of naivete. In addition to Jesus's parabolic twist on Isaiah's vineyard, Jesus provides a citation from Psalm 118 as well, again, weaving those sources together. His scriptural citation shifts the focus of the parable altogether from a critique of the tenants and leadership in the parable to a statement about the sun and the stone in the scripture citation. The story was no longer about the vineyard, the produce, or the tenant farmers. Now Jesus turned attention toward the abused son. They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. For Matthew, this twist was a Christological one in which the abused son became the stone that the builders rejected, which in turn determined who was in or out. The son who was sent must be an allegory for God's son, Jesus. The tenant farmers, representing the temple leadership, would be replaced by other tenants. And what looked like a landowner's naivete was really God's plan. This was the Lord's doing. The references to Isaiah today are clear. The reference to the Son of God is clear. The judgment on the temple leaders is clear. So what is the challenge for us? Today, specifically, this week specifically, I think there are three. The first coming directly from the readings in context. The first is to ask, what is it that we tend of God's? Confessing Christians tend God's word and God's life in the world. So that's the first thing. How are we tending it? The second thing is to ask if we are bearing fruit. And if we are, referencing back to Isaiah, is it the fruit that God has planted, or is it wild fruit coming from our own designs? The last, I think, is the hardest in these times, specifically even the last few days. I found myself wanting to put the judgment of the parable on other churches, those other people, who it seems to me sometimes have perpetuated a gospel which is not the gospel of love. This weekend, some of the reactions that I've heard and seen to the president's COVID hospitalization have been predictably, and some might say deservedly, fairly harsh. I understand the inclination very well, but that road is not very long that takes me to contempt and to ill will, and that is certainly not the fruit of God. So after the questions that come from the gospel, I have to ask myself, in the face of what I've seen as evil, how is it possible to focus on doing good, on bearing good fruit in both action and in thought, and perhaps in prayer? Being those that tend to the garden of God's word and example, perhaps especially now, well, that challenge is more than enough. I wanted to end on a slightly lighter note, but still referencing these themes, with the new Serenity Prayer that actually my mom sent me from American Media. By itself, a bit of an amazement that she is sending something from American Media. Some of you might understand why. It's the new Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, which is pretty much everyone, since I'm clearly not you, God. At least not the last time I checked. And while you're at it, God, please give me the courage to change what I need to change about myself, which is frankly a lot, since, once again, I'm not you, which means I'm not perfect. It's better for me to focus on changing myself than to worry about changing other people who, as you'll no doubt remember me saying, I can't change anyway. Finally, give me the wisdom to just shut up whenever I think that I'm clearly smarter than everyone else in the room, that no one knows what they're talking about except for me, or that I alone have all the answers. Basically, God, grant me the wisdom to remember that I'm not you. Amen.